My name is Clayton Dugan, and I have the privilege of bringing you the message this morning. My wife Isabel and I have been members of this church for almost 35 years now, so we kind of feel we're part of the family, you know? And it's wonderful to be here today and have this privilege this morning. I feel I want to say that we're also privileged to have Peter and Sandy Raby with us today. So we welcome you. Peter was on the pastoral staff of this church for many, many years, and we were always appreciated his ministry so much. So we welcome Peter and Sandy. They assure me, although they have to go out early today, it's not because they're fed up with the preaching. They really have an appointment later on. So we welcome them, though. All right. Well, it's good to be with you today, and we're going to read from Psalm 23 again this morning, and this is the final message in the series, and I think we're going to have the psalm up on the screen in a moment, and we're going to read it together. So let's read this. This is the word of the Lord, and we're going to read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. This, as we say, is the word of the Lord. So we're concentrating really this morning on the last verse. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And if you look at the picture on the screen right now, I want to point out to you one thing that really struck me about this picture is that all the sheep are focused on the shepherd. All of them are focused on the shepherd. And it's because of that, as we bring the picture down to ourselves today, it's when we are totally focused on the shepherd, and only then can we say with assurance, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, as we get into the message this morning, I feel what I want to do, maybe this will benefit some people who haven't been here for the whole series, and we've been blessed through the previous messages that we've heard going through this wonderful psalm through the summertime. Now, one or two things I want to say by way of introduction, to paint the picture and remind you really what this psalm is all about, because unless we get this right, ladies and gentlemen, the last verse will not have any real meaning for us. So I want you to bear that in mind today. But let me say this, that Psalm 23 is one of a group of psalms. There's one of the groups of psalms in the Word of God is what are called the Messianic Psalms. And there's quite a number of them, and those psalms have a particularly prophetic message regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a little group within that, the group of Messianic Psalms, Psalm 22, 23, and 24, that are particularly applicable. And those three psalms are definitely prophetic, and they complement one another. For Psalm 22, where, my God, why have you forsaken me? The words that Jesus cried from the cross. Psalm 22 speaks of the suffering Savior. It reminds us of the cross where Jesus died. It reminds us of John 10, verse 11, where Jesus himself says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Then we come to Psalm 23, which speaks of the living shepherd. And as he guides the sheep through all the ins and outs of life, this speaks of not only the cross this time, but the crook, where we're disciplined, we're being led, we're being guided. And that reminds us of Hebrews 10, verse 20 and following, where it speaks of the God who, of God who raised from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 22 speaks of the good shepherd, Psalm 23, the great shepherd, and Psalm 24 speaks of the chief shepherd, and it reminds us that he is the exalted sovereign. He's the suffering Savior, the living shepherd, and the exalted sovereign. And 1 Peter 5, verse 4 talks there about faithful elders, and when the exalted shepherd or the chief shepherd appears, when he comes back again, they're going to be given that crown of blessing. So why is that all important? It helps us to focus on the good shepherd. It helps us to focus on the Lord Jesus. And you know, I had the thought, it came to me last Sunday actually, and I was thinking about this. We worship here in Lambrick Park Church. One of the things that's very precious to me about the Lord Jesus is not only is he a shepherd, but he actually became a sheep. What makes him so wonderful as a shepherd is that he identified himself with us. He became one of us. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 that he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. And we're reminded of Jesus' complete identification with humanity when he came into the world to be our Savior. And as the Lamb of God, he laid down his life for the sins of humanity. He became one of us. Now, that should be a comfort to all of us today. But what I wanted to point out to you is so that each time you come back to Lambrick Park Church, I want to give you a little thought on the word Lambrick. First of all, it says lamb, okay? Lamb. John says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Then you've got R-I-C-K, the Lamb. He is risen. He is indwelling. He is coming again. And he is King of Kings. Amen? So every time you come on a Sunday morning and you see that word up on the screen, Lambrick, you will worship immediately. Amen? You will say, thank you for the Lamb who came. Thank you that he is risen. And because he's my Savior, he is indwelling. He's living on the inside of me. And because of who he is coming again. That is our hope. And praise God, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the one that we worship. Now, bearing all that in mind, folks, this is why it's important for us to realize the central theme of Psalm 23 is this: I shall not want. That's the central theme of this psalm. And when we're focused on the shepherd and he is who he wants to be in our lives, then this is true of each one of us when we know him. I shall not want. Because the Lord is my shepherd. Now, I want to give you a little exercise today so that when you go home, you will never forget this. On your hand, it's quite simple. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you hang on to that finger this morning? Are you thrilled out of your socks today that the Lord is my shepherd? People, it is so real. And this is what it's all about. If we miss this, the last verse will mean nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I pray that today all of us will go home from this service and we'll rejoice and we'll be thrilled about that great fact. Now, having said all of that, let's get down to some more detail. I want to just remind you, first of all, then, that all of that means relationship. It means relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. Can I remind you? A relationship with whom? The Lord. Capital letters, as it's been pointed out many times in the psalm. It means the Lord Jehovah, the creator of the universe, the Lord of lords. It doesn't get any better than this, people. You could not imagine having a better, a more wonderful Savior than the one that we have. The Lord Jehovah is my shepherd. Now, when you keep that in mind, who are we talking about? Remember Moses in Exodus chapter 3, when he met God at the burning bush, and he said, if I have to go to the people of Israel in Egypt, what am I going to tell? How am I going to say who sent me? The Lord says, you'll tell them that I am has sent you. What is your name? Moses said, my name is I am who I am. I, the great I am, the one who is the eternal God, who has no beginning, who has no end, the eternal God, the Lord is my shepherd. What a wonderful thing. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, we might say then, so what? So what? If that is true, then I do not lack. I shall lack nothing. In my researches and studying for the message today, I came across a wonderful outline of the psalm that reminds us what it's all about. It tells us the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in green pastures. That means he is my provision. He leads me beside quiet waters. You know, when life is in turmoil, he leads me into quiet waters. He leads me into his peace. When everything's falling apart, or when I've blown it and I've made many mistakes, as I certainly have, I'm standing here today to say, thank you, Lord, you restore my soul. When I go through times in life when I feel I need direction, he leads me in paths of righteousness. He gives me guidance. When I'm going through deep trials, sadness, sorrow, whatever it might be, whatever the valley, the dark valley might be, he gives me courage. When I need leading and disciplining, etc., etc., I can enjoy the comfort of his presence, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. And even in the midst of all the battles of life, when the enemy may be attacking my life, I just thank God today he provides a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I can ignore the enemy, amen? Come on, people. I can ignore the enemy, because he provides a table. I can sit at his table. He provides protection. He anoints my head with oil. He gives me his joy. My cup overflows. No life can ever be more blessed or enriched than when it's in relationship with the Good Shepherd. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He gives me hope. I have a heavenly home to look forward to. How rich is that? It's so amazingly rich. So therefore we say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I do not want. Professor Dielitz says in his commentary, he who has Jehovah, the possessor of all things, has everything. He does not lack. Now, I want to say something to you this morning. I don't know what's necessarily going through your mind right now, but I want to say something to you. If the Lord is your shepherd today, and he says, I shall not lack, that means whether you realize it or not. Whether you realize it or not, my friend, you lack nothing when Jesus is your shepherd. You see, it's all by faith. And we come back to this, and I'm going to rub it in this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. We come back to that point every time. And when that is the case, whether we realize it or no, and I'm ashamed to say of the number of times I go through my life and I forget this wonderful fact, I lack nothing. Scott, in his message, I think it was last week, made the point that Psalm 23 is not so much instructional, it is about revelation. And this is something, my dear friends, when it says the Lord is my shepherd, and the significance of all of that, it's something that the Holy Spirit must reveal to our hearts. I want to encourage you today to come to in the presence of the Lord, realizing he loves you, he died for you, he died for me, he died in our place on a cross to reconcile us to our Creator, so that we would rediscover the reason we're living on this planet, rediscover why we're here, what the purpose of life is all about, and where we're going. And when we come to see the truth of all of that fact, and he gave us the confirmation in that he rose from the dead, having died in our place on a cross. He rose from the dead. Praise God, we have a risen Savior today. We have a living shepherd. So, it's a relationship with Jehovah. And it means that I lack nothing. But then that moves us on from there, and we come down to the verse we're really focusing on, verse number 6. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Only when we have the relationship right will we recognize the wonder of the hope that is ours. And when I think of that, we're thinking now in verse 6 about reliability. That's what I want to call this, reliability. In other words, it means that we're proving that Jesus, our shepherd, is completely trustworthy. When Amy was here, was it last Sunday, do you remember? Every time that dear lady speaks here, I'm blessed to bits. I really am. And one of the things that Amy said last time she was here was, Jesus is so worth it. Amen to that. Jesus is so worth it. Dear people today, he who is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, is totally trustworthy. I beg of you today, if you're battling what I'm saying in your mind right now, come to him today and say, Lord, I want you to know this is what I'm doing right now. I want you to know, Lord Jesus, I'm trusting you for myself. The Lord now, from this moment on, is my shepherd. When that is true, then we go on to prove that he is totally reliable. And in the relationship, this is the wonderful thing. From this moment on, then, for the rest of your life, for the rest of your life, everything can be completely different. Maybe you need a new start today. I've been there many times. Maybe you've never known the Good Shepherd at all. Maybe you've no relationship with him. Today, from this moment, your life can be forever changed. Praise God. And when I think about this, I'm going to wax poetic for a moment. And I want you to think of the rest of your life in terms of Linda Ellis's famous poem, The Dash. Listen to what she says, just two or three verses. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came her date of birth, spoke of the following date with tears, but he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So, when your eulogy is being read, life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash. Dear people, I want to tell you, from this moment on, if you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, every moment of your dash from now on will take on a new meaning. You may have blown it in the past. You may have failed. You may have gone through all kinds of things, but I want you to know, He wants to restore. He wants to renew. Praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, cleanses me from all sin. Isn't that glorious? So that every moment now, for the rest of my dash, and you're maybe saying, don't remind me, life is a big dash every day, when dashing here and dashing there and dashing everywhere. But at the same time, think of it, the whole picture, infused with the presence of the Good Shepherd. So, when you think of all of that, this is why the psalmist says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. The word can be translated, only goodness and mercy shall follow me. And you're maybe sitting there saying, listen, preacher, you don't know my life. You don't know what's going on in my life right now. I want to tell you something, people. No matter how bad it gets, I want to tell you, when you're in relationship with the Good Shepherd, only goodness and mercy will follow you. Because as the New Testament tells us, He makes all things work together for good to them that love God. And when we're in relationship with Him, no matter what is going on in our lives, we are and can experience the goodness of the Shepherd. Amen? Turning our trials, our difficulties, our challenges into blessing for the glory of His name. Goodness, mercy, His unfailing love. Jeremiah the prophet says, God says through him, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. People, isn't that a glorious thing? When the Lord is my shepherd, I am loved with an everlasting, unchanging love. In every situation, it's real. Surely goodness and love will follow me. And that word follow, it means will literally pursue me. And one writer says, it'll pursue me as His judgments pursue the wicked. Surely goodness and love shall follow me. It doesn't just bring up the rear as if it was an afterthought. God's goodness and loving kindness pursues me. God wants to pour into my life. He wants to pour into me every conceivable blessing that heaven can give me. That's why you read amazing things like in the New Testament in Ephesians. When you know the shepherd, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Everyone. You maybe heard me say this before, that most of us who call ourselves Christians, we spend so much time praying for things we already got. We just don't realize it yet. God says, I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So we come to Him and say, Lord, bless your name. Amen. I receive, Lord. I receive it from you. Pour it in, Lord. I'm like an empty vessel. Fill me with your blessing. Surely, only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'll make my home there. I'll return there. I'll just know the fullness of His blessing, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. An unending thing. Now, I know that the Hebrew tells us when it says forever, it means for length of days. I know that. But that's not all there is. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. What would be the point if it was just for this life? Thank God it is for this life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all of my days, right to the very end of my life, praise God. That's a given. But there's no end in view here, you see. As one writer says, it's not only for our days on earth, but it's for God's days as well. For God's days as well. For it right on into eternity. This is the hope of the men and women and young people who know Christ as their own personal shepherd and savior. In Matthew chapter 22, there's a very interesting little story there about Jesus being confronted by some Sadducees one day. The Sadducees were the people who didn't believe in resurrection from the dead. That's one of the reasons why they were so sad, you see. You're quick on the update, you guys. Anyway, those Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. And so Jesus was teaching them a few things. And the Lord Jesus says to them in Matthew 22, verse 32, quoting the Lord God in the book of Exodus, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Now, when that word came to Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were long dead. But he says, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So says Jesus, he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Amen? Not a God of the dead, but of the living. So therefore, we can come to him today, and we can rejoice as we conclude our study of Psalm 23. When the Lord is my shepherd, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will be at home in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. That is the glory of the fact that he is our living, risen shepherd. So what is going to be our response to that, dear people? As we conclude the message today, how do we respond to all of this? Because I want to say to you, respond we must. You can't just go out of here and forget all about this. If Jesus has done so much for you and me, if he has come to be the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, we can't just ignore this. He is the risen Savior. So what is going to be our response? God says in Psalm 65, verse 4, "Blessed is the man or the woman you choose and bring near to live in your courts." There's no greater blessing can ever come to any human being than the joy of living your life every day, walking and talking with the Lord and enjoying his presence. In Psalm 57, it says, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises. My heart is fixed on Jesus, my shepherd. I want to stand on him, as it were, as my living hope." And I was reminded again, waxing poetic, if I may, of an old song that we used to sing, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain," etc., etc. I've forgotten the rest right now. But the bit I want you to get into your mind is, "I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus." Psalm 27, the writer there says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord and worship him. Let me get it exactly right here. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. Notice something. One thing have I desired of the Lord. He does not just say, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. I had an old Bible one time. It was my preaching Bible for many years, and I had all kinds of things in the margin, and it was stolen. My car was burgled, and my tote bag was taken, and my Bible in it. And I've been praying for the guy who took it ever since, that he would read it. You know what I'm saying? But in the margin opposite this verse, I've got a little note. I had a little note written there. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. And I wrote in the margin, God always gives us what we go in for. God will give you what you go in for. If you are in relationship with Jesus Christ as your shepherd today, I want to say to you, dear friends, this is your hope. Amen. This is your hope. Only goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Make it the number one focus of your life to enjoy his presence. Amen. To enjoy his presence, to be in his word every day, to develop your relationship with him, to commune with him in prayer, to walk with him through every situation, husbands and wives praying together, families praying together, growing in that relationship. So what is going to be our response? Are we going to go away today? The Lord is my shepherd. I pray, God, that you'll go home today, and maybe tonight when you go to bed, you'll go to sleep hanging on to that finger. Amen? You'll go to sleep hanging on to that finger, and your whole being will be worshiping God, and you'll be saying, thank you, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. Amen? Thank you for listening.